Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reginald Clemens speaking on Reentry 2030 on the Shedding Light Network. Yes, I thank you and I appreciate the opportunity to speak on the Shedding Light Network to shed light on an aspect of prison reform that people are not fully familiar with, but are going hopefully through this show and this series of shows that we're going to be having once a week, talking about different classes that are held and different projects that we've put together and when it comes to rehabilitation in Reentry 2030. And what the idea and the plan is to hash out and comb through each class and the various lessons and peel the onion back on what peer-to-peer prisoner rehabilitation looks like and what peer-to-peer prison rehabilitation is and has been. And again, my name is Reginald Clemens. I am 53 years old. I've been locked up for 32 years. When I first came to prison, I'll say I was 19 years old. And it was prisoners that embraced me as far as helped me grow. I was saying some wanted to plot and see if they could manipulate and use me. Some wanted to help me be strong. In my experience, I've found that more people want to help me grow than want to harm me. So that's where I had to learn to pick and choose who it is that I affiliate with, associate with.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
And coming to prison, and whatever, I'm not going to stay on this subject, but it's an important subject when coming to prison. Some of the best advice that I received was keep your eyes and ears open and your mouth shut. And then the other real good advice that I got was, as long as you don't lie, gamble, or mess with drugs and homosexuals, you pretty much stay out of trouble and won't catch any time. Because those are the things that cause people to catch more time and cause people to have problems in prison. Because I'm saying, somebody catch you lying and your word ain't no good. Once your word ain't no good, that's the only thing you really got in prison. That's the measure of you as a man in a lot of ways. Or measure of you as a trustworthy human being or individual. But without harping on that and saying on what it is to do time and what it means to do time in prison, I like to get around to the beautiful process and the beautiful work that we're doing when it comes to helping an individual rebuild their life, create a trajectory for their life on release from prison. Everybody, all the people, what we have is there's prisoners, peer-to-peer rehabilitation, right? And what we'll are working towards is helping prisoners go home and stay home. They already got outdates. They got outdates within the next 2 years. And what we have to do is work with them, understand them individually, and try to understand and get them to open up. And that takes a lot of trust. That's earned. And it's easier to earn respect than it is to earn somebody's trust to the point that they will open up and give you the pains of their life story. Now, that's where the rehabilitation starts, where you can get a person to open up and be honest with themselves. Because once you begin to get a person to be honest with themselves, then they can start the real work of self-analyzation and actualization. Because you can't project your future or you can't get control of your future or manifest your destiny or get control of your association until you're certain about who you are. And you're honest with yourself about what you like and don't like. Until you get to the self-analyzation, which requires vigorous honesty with yourself. If you're not honest with anybody else, you have to be honest with yourself, with your pain, your strengths, and your weaknesses, your vulnerabilities, the things to how you've been victimized, how you could possibly be victimized again. And it hurts at first. And one of the biggest things that keeps a person from opening up like that is shame. Shame and guilt. And the inability to forgive oneself. Well, no, these things are not unique to prisoners. But one thing for sure, if we don't dig through those things in this program, if we don't dig through those things, we won't be able to help a person with anger management. They're going to come back to prison if they're in prison for assault and robbery and things of an aggressive nature. We can't get a person to come down off of their ego if they're trying to overcompensate for the weaknesses or the pains of their past. We have to get a person to level off and accept the fact that they're just as human as anybody else, and they deserve love just as much as anybody else. And they are deserving of being free just as much as anybody else. And now that they paid their debt to society, it's time for them to reclaim their life and change the direction of their life.
Reginald,
yes.
I was wondering if I could ask you a question. I know it's kind of early on into the show, but with you and your team working with these individuals getting ready to come out of prison, how does it make you feel to, I mean, here,
from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Here you've been in prison all these years, especially on a wrongful conviction, but you've been in prison all these years, and you and others, even though you're serving life sentences, you're trying to help these individuals that are getting ready to come out. And I know that must be very painful. I know that you're getting ready to be cut off and you'll be calling back in, but can you answer that when you come back on to the audience? Because I often think about that and I feel really bad that I think what you're doing is excellent, but I also feel bad because of what you all are going through, trying to help others that are getting ready to come out. But at the same time, I know you must be feeling a lot of pain inside as well. So if you can talk a little bit about that when you come back on, I'd like to know, and I think the audience probably would like to know as well.
Oh, yeah, I'll be glad to answer that question.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Okay, Reginald Clemens will be coming back on in a few minutes, and I'd like to have an answer from him, because when I think about the people inside that are serving life sentences, long, long sentences, and yet they're trying to help these individuals that are getting ready to come out, to be prepared to come out. I know it must be very painful, and I'd like to hear more from him on it, and even some of the others if they are going to be coming on as well. This is it's really painful when you think about it, and let's hear what he has to say when he comes on.
This is a free call from Jefferson City Correctional Center.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored.
These recordings are a pain as well.
Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
Okay.
Yes. Did you give them the number to call in on?
Oh, I'm sorry, audience. Yeah, well, they see it too when I send it out to social media. But the call-in number for everyone is 657-383-1630. Again, that is 657-383-1630. Please do call in with any questions you may have, any feedback. This is a matter that's really important to a lot of people, those who are coming out as well as those who are in for life. So please call in if you have any questions or even just to give some feedback. Thank you so much. Okay, Reginald?
Yes, and with that, I welcome encouragement, criticism, questions, critiques. I think whatever opinion you may or may not have, positive or negative, I was saying I'm interested in it. And the reason I'm interested in it is because I want a clear understanding and a clear trajectory. And the more information that I learned in my life, in my 53 years, the more information that I have, the better I can perform and the better I can serve. And I'm gonna get around to the question that Leona asked, because it's a very important question. How do I feel helping other prisoners who are going home within the next 2 years? Some are going home in the next 60 days. Well, it would hurt. An analogy I'd like to, I've been in a few fights in my life. I'm a handsome young man. Well, I consider myself young. I'm a handsome young man who knows how to dance, who is friendly, and sometimes people think I'm a pretty boy or something. But I do have some fight skills because I have six older brothers that used to beat me up growing up. So I'm the youngest out of six brothers. And I mention that because it only hurts. A fight only hurts when you're not fighting back. When you stop swinging, that's when it starts hurting. When you stop struggling against what it is you don't like or don't believe in, that's when it sinks in and starts hurting. That's when it starts taking hold. And that's what makes you a victim of the negative circumstance, makes you start feeling sorry for yourself. So this is my way of leaning in to the fight for humanity. This is my way of leaning in for the fight for redemption. And it's my way of not only leaning in to fight, but it's my way of giving back for all the people that fought tooth and nail with the full passion of their heart and soul to help me get off death row. I almost got executed in 2009. So I am grateful to be able to be in the position, to be in the position that I am to help others. It's a mercy and a blessing because, I'm saying, if I'd been executed, I'm saying, I wouldn't have had a chance at redemption. I wouldn't have had a chance to use the plight of my hardships to share my pain with others, pain that they should avoid. I wouldn't be able to share, because see what it is, it helped me find a depth within myself that I wouldn't have been able to find otherwise in the absence of that level of pressure and misery.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
And because I've been in touch with my weaknesses, I'm able to help other people get in touch with theirs. And it removes fear from me when somebody starts getting aggressive within their pain. So I want to go home. I want to hug my mother and my father are still alive. My grandparents are not. I just recently lost an auntie that passed away in August. I've lost a brother and two cousins. There's a lot of people. There's people who have that I care about who have cancer, and there's people going through hardships that I feel like I can help with. So it hurts not to be able to help those that I care about and I love. And to see people going home and having a blase, skippy, la-di-da attitude about it, I'm saying it ain't a blase fair situation. This is a situation that is life and death. Well, you should know what. They don't want to come back to prison. Because you come to prison, ain't no guarantee you're going to get out. People come to prison. As a matter of fact, oh, God. And this is the thing that pisses me off. sometimes. There's somebody who was about to go home that they were about this, like, they're gonna go home in the next 5 months, right? And they got high on that stupid deuce. Because you can spray this stuff on paper and it's impossible for the prison system to stop it because it's undetectable. And you know what I'm saying, person don't get the dirty urine or anything. And they get up there and smoke some deuce. And they smoke too much of it and start screaming and hollering and was out of their mind. And when the guards came to their cell, they start fighting with the police. That type of stuff makes absolutely no sense to me. But that's what it is that I'm fighting against.
I'm glad you're talking about this, because I'll tell you, this is something a lot of people talk about. You know, they talk about all the people that are coming out. And one of the things they say is, and this is a factual, most people that are not in for life, they come out, a lot of times they mess up and they go back in again. But it's been almost confirmed, it's been discussed by so many others that are in the criminal justice arena, that people who have been in for years to serve life have come out and they have not reoffended. And this is something that's very important, because people stereotype all prisoners. They not only stereotype all prisoners, but they are fearful, and the media is responsible for that, because the media overreports and they report one-sided stories. But it is a known fact that people who have been incarcerated for years are less likely to reoffend than those that are coming out. And you mentioned those that are having their fun doing their drugs behind those prison walls. Those are the ones that are messing it up for many of you, because if they would just get their acts together, maybe everyone would start seeing all prisoners as being positive and trying to do the right things. So maybe if you can, try to work with those people, or at least get the message to them that we don't appreciate the ongoing drug infestation that they're creating in the prisons, only to mess it up for other individuals who are incarcerated, trying to come out.
Yeah, and we that's like one of our biggest enemies, right? And I was explaining a little bit earlier about the interpersonal self-evaluation, or self-actualization. The processing of an individual saying, doing what is in AA called a fifth step, doing a thorough inventory, which is a fourth step, and having somebody to talk to about these things. It's like if you get to the problem, you get to the core and the root of the problem, it's called the pain that a person is running from. Because really, that fake smile, that fake I don't care attitude is really a front. That's a front. And then I'm just kicking an attitude. That's a front. It's a front to hide from pain. There are very few people who are committing living suicide, because that's what an addiction amounts to. There are very few people who are committing living suicide who are doing it because they want to. There's some driving forces behind it, right? And one of the driving forces behind it is an individual's lack of hope. And that's something that we just, along with the addiction and the pains and the scars of a person's past, we have to wrestle with their lack of confidence, their lack of ability to visualize themselves being successful, because some of them have been told that they're failures by the media. Some of them have been told that their identity as an individual, the only thing that they can do is just be this tough guy. That's it. beginning and the end of their character development and their character makeup. The end and the beginning, the A to Z. The root is to the tutor. That's who they feel like they are, who they have to be. They have to feel like they got to be Big Pimpin' player from the Himalayas, a street thug gangster.
And you mentioned, hiding the pain by acting that way and doing those things. And I just want to real quickly mention, before Reginald goes on, I want to send out our condolences to a mother. Her name is Julie Collette, and she is on Facebook in one of the groups, and she just lost her son recently who was incarcerated to suicide. Alleged suicide. So these are some of the things. When you mentioned that, Reggie, I wanted to say that because this is what happens in the prison with a lot of people who have been in for a long time, is losing that hope that you mentioned.
Yeah, and it breaks my heart to hear that. And anybody that knows somebody who's thinking about suicide, I would encourage you to remind them that the reason suicide is the most selfish thing you can do is because there's somebody who loves you that you're going to hurt. Everybody has somebody that loves them. It might even be somebody they don't even realize loves them that's watching them. But you're going to leave them with your pain. That's why suicide is so selfish. And the other aspect of when it comes to suicide is you know what's here. You don't know what's on the other side.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
You don't know if it's heaven, hell, or non-existence. You don't know. It might not be the end of your pain. It might be a worse pain. So I encourage you to encourage somebody else to learn to enjoy life and appreciate life. And find a way to push past and through the pain to see a brighter tomorrow. And my condolences to Julie, Miss Julie, and I pray that God gives her the strength to cope.
There are others within the last few years. There's others too in the groups, and even not in groups, out of California as well. Are people that have lost their loved ones to suicide. And that's why I say mass incarceration in the United States has to stop. Too many people are getting to the point where they can't cope any longer. And I sent a message out for those people, anybody in this country or around the world, that thinks people are deserving of this because they've committed an offense. And I try to remind everyone of the statements that Jesus himself made, the Christ, about not judging. And he who has not sinned cast the first stone. I don't think anybody could cast that first stone. So these are some of the things I wanted to bring out too.
And there's a class that I teach, right? I do a lot of one-on-one counseling sessions with individuals and talking to people individually and trying to help them dissect themselves. But the class that I teach is interview and negotiation skills. And that sounds simple. And for us, for people who are in the workforce, have worked their way into the workforce, who have developed or taught or been or picked up different things when it comes to good manners and good posture and different things like that throughout their life, and have been around some type of office clerk or work or been in some type of professional environment or have worked all their life. Some people work since they were 7, 8 years old. There's a lot of people, especially in prison, who haven't really been a part of the workforce and don't believe that they can get in the workforce. I'm a firm believer that we all have gifts. We all have talents and interests. We all have God-given gifts. And being able to introduce yourself into the workforce that is tailored to your spiritual and mental makeup, right? The makeup of your being, your presence, right? That is what we're supposed to do. That's what we're that's our opportunity to serve, do our part. We don't have to be superstars. We ain't got to be famous or rich or anything. Just do our part and get our issue and enjoy life of fishing and riding motorcycles, riding 10 speeds or walking or walking barefoot in the grass up under the moonlight, away from the city lights and light pollution where the stars are close enough for you to touch them. Those are things that mean everything. And a person, helping a person to see themselves in a different way. That's what interview skills and negotiation skills offers a person, because it opens the door. It opens the door to, because one of the things, like something as simple as sitting up straight and looking a person in the eye and a firm handshake where you're not squeezing the person's knuckles together, but giving a firm handshake, and how what's the proper way to shake a man's hand? What's the proper way to shake a woman's hand? You don't want to shake a woman's hand, give her a limp handshake, but at the same time, you don't want to grip a woman's hand the same way you would a man's hand. So it gets a balance. And all these little things count during the interview. Having control of your voice inflections, having control of projecting your voice and not talking down in your throat. Introducing yourself properly and asking the person how they're doing and paying attention to what they're saying. And if possible, take a tour of the business or the company or industry within which you're trying to work your way into, so that when you do go to the interview, if you get the interview, you have a lot more interesting questions, a lot more questions that are pertinent to the job or the career that you're seeking, which will make you stand out. And then some of our clients, I consider myself a life coach, and because that's what it is that I feel like I'm doing, is trying to help a person develop the skills and the abilities that they need in order to live the life that they need to live and want to live. Because in my experience, talking to prisoners, they
want... You have 1 minute left.
We, as prisoners, want to live the life of a good family man. And some of us don't see ourselves being able to fit into that round hole. Be the square peg to fit to that square hole. We feel like a square peg trying to fit to a round hole. And that's when we lose ourselves. We don't see ourselves fully as a well-rounded individual or potentially the well-rounded individual that we could be if we just put in the work. And these interview and negotiation skills, like tying a necktie. I'll get more into some of the other things that we teach, or that I teach in the instruction when it comes to interview and negotiation skills. And like I said, each one of these shows is going to be giving you a different aspect.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Reggie will be calling back, audience, but I'd like to say something real quick before he does, and that is, once again, we have to look at these, especially with what he's trying to do right now. He's not only working on this project with his team to mentor these soon-to-be-released incarcerated, and the Department of Corrections is allowing this program, and as he mentioned, it's happening around to other states as well. But one of the things we have to realize, it's very difficult for him to do what he's doing right now because of the background. He's in a prison. He's going through all this. It's loud. There's prisoners in the background making a lot of noise. And he's trying to get a message out to everyone. he's trying to get a message out to the audience. So it's very, very difficult for him to be doing this radio show, trying to let everyone know about this program he and his team are working on. There's a lot of noise in the background, and he's trying to get it. Then we have these recordings that are every 10 or 15 minutes going off. This is what everybody goes through, loved ones, when they're hearing from their loved ones incarcerated. These recordings are distracting and everything else. So what he's trying to do right now is very difficult, and I ask the audience to please be patient with him as he gets his message out about the mentorship that they are doing with these soon-to-be-released prisoners. So here it again is Reginald Clemens.
Yes, thank you, Leona. Thank you very much. And it means a lot to me. So it's Reginald Clemens speaking on Reentry 2030. It means a lot to me to be a part of this program of peer-to-peer mentoring and facilitating and instructing individuals who are about to be released into society. It means a lot to me because I see the shift in individuals whenever they become invested in it, whenever they open up and commit to it. You can see it from when they first show up, and then after a while they kind of question it a little bit, question my sincerity and the sincerity of the rest of the team. And over time they start seeing that we are definitely deeply sincere about what we're doing, and we know what we're talking about. And I believe in living with my heart out there. And when you get a person to buy into it, that's when you can get them to start listening and really absorbing the information and taking out the time to study and try to memorize what it is that you're teaching. And it's amazing. Not amazing. I don't even know what words to say in regards to how many people in prison don't know what it is that they need to know to come to life skills on different levels. And what I mean by that, because I ended with mentioning neckties, right? 85% of the people that I instruct and teach in my class don't know how to tie a necktie. And we deal with and talk to them about presentation beyond the handshake. We talk to them about presentation at work, because when you're at work and how you present yourself, you should present yourself the same way you did for your interview. You should present yourself based upon the job that you're trying to get. If you're trying to get a job as working as a clerk at a hotel, you should show up and dress the part. It ain't necessary to have on a two-piece suit when most people who check people into hotels wear a shirt and tie, and that's it. Excuse me. And if you're going to work, if you're going to a construction site, you should dress the part. You should wear jeans and or cargo pants and some boots and have a tool belt with you. But if you're going in to interview for an office job, be a clerical assistant or something like that, then you shouldn't wear Timberland boots and Dickie pants and everything looking like you're going to a construction site, because you don't fit the role. And that's the same way as the lifestyle that some of the people who are in prison are used to are from
this call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
People that come from the streets, I'm saying you can't go on the streets and be wearing a suit and tie or wearing a shirt, necktie, some slacks. Talking about you trying to sell some drugs. Somebody gonna rob you. So you have to dress the part. You have to present yourself according to what it is that you're trying to accomplish. You have to carry yourself consistent with what it is you're trying to accomplish. And one of the ways we get through to them is We're not trying to change you. Not trying to change you as far as who you are as a person. What we're trying to do is give you the tools to broaden your horizon. Give you the tools to increase your ability to maneuver through life. Give you the tools to increase your opportunity for success and whatever it is that you choose to do. Trying to add to what you already know how to do. Because a lot of aspects of the street hustle are consistent with business practices. And that's like agricultural, agriculture. In agriculture, farmers, it's been discovered that people who are farmers make the best stockbrokers. Whenever they go to business school, they make the best stockbrokers because they understand scale and from ground to market. And what are all the different things in between, and the logistics and demographics of economic shifts and stuff, right? And the same thing happens with the dope game, but when there's a major bust, a major shipment get caught by the Coast Guard, then the street value of drugs go up. Because there's a shortage and a drought. And that's the same way that the markets work. Product and demand. The less product, the more the product is worth. The more product there is, the less the product is worth, the cheaper it is to buy. And they can use those skills and that understanding of money and finance and commerce and exchange from the street level in a legitimate way. It's getting them to bridge the gap of their understanding and begin to see the possibilities that they did not believe in. And getting the individual to become invested in themselves. Getting the individual, when you see that light turn on, then, man, I can do this. I can change. I can't redirect my life. I can't change the direction and my objectives. I can begin to live in my passions, in my good passions. And that's when they began to feed the good wolf. And there's a Native American proverb where it says that within all of us there's a good and a bad wolf. And the type of person that we are depends upon which wolf we feed the most. And we show them that it's possible to feed that good wolf and prosper and grow. And enjoy life in a conscious, sober way. And that's what the interview and negotiation skills class begins to open a person up to. And the most important thing that I personally believe that it does for a person when it brings them to grasp hold of their possibilities and believe in themselves and believe in the possibilities. They don't even have to believe in success. Just believe in the possibility. That fear of failure starts to fade. And when that fear of failure starts to fade, the anxiety of panic starts to subside a little bit.
I'd just like to say one thing. They're already successful, and you as well, Reggie. And I want to say this, because sometimes it takes a tragedy, and it takes incarceration or whatever, to realize that God has given us our success internally. Because so many people that went to prison did not even realize the gifts that they had within them until they went to prison. And then they started realizing they could sing, they could draw, they could write poetry, they could write books. There's so many people incarcerated that have so much success within them than those in the communities who are so quick to judge or who are critical. And you mentioned dressing up. We live in a society now that people go to church and I know that it doesn't happen in the mosque, but they go to church in ripped up jeans. They go to church in dresses and you know, not even dressing the way that they used to years ago. So the ones on the outside are the ones that should be going to school or should be mentored, because we don't have role models out in the streets anymore for these young people. And this is another reason why these young people are now going to prison, because there's no role models. People are too busy criticizing anyone that's different from them or that's disabled. These people are bullied. They're called names. And at one time, they would say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. Well, that's not the case today, because there's so many critical people in society today. Because if there wasn't, we wouldn't have mass incarceration. But what I'm trying to say is all of you inside, from the least to the most, all are successful within. A lot of people just haven't found that success within them. In your program that you have right now, you and your team are going to bring out a lot of those successes. And when these people are thinking about what they have done in life, the good things, have them meditate on anything good that they've ever done in life, and put it down on paper so that they can include that in their resume when they get ready to go for job interviews. That's what they need, to let people know that they have that success within them.
Calls from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Oh, in the program, we start the day with an hour of meditation. We call it prayer and meditation. And the reason we call it prayer and meditation is because it's to respect people who do not believe in God, who don't have a religious upbringing in the background, or a relationship with God, or don't believe, just start saying. So it's to, I understand that not everybody sees things the same way, but the introspection of either prayer or meditation, of getting in tune with something deeper than your selfish thoughts throughout the day, or your passions, or your pleasures, or your recreational hobbies, or whatever, is meditation is an opportunity to reflect upon yourself. And I think I'm going to have somebody speak on that in the future about meditation and what does meditation do for them. Personally, I've done a lot of meditating, and it's helped me tremendously. It hasn't helped me grow my hair back, though. I wish it could. If I learn to relax a little bit more, hey, my hair just might come back. I don't know. They say it can. I've heard people say it can. And I've seen documentaries where there's some Shaolin Buddhist monks. There's some Shaolin monks and some Buddhist monks, two different things, excuse me. But there's some monks in China who grew up in the Himalayan mountains, grew up in the mountains, and they have snow melt competition with meditate. They meditate and raise their body temperature, core body temperature. They have competitions on who can melt the most snow by meditating and raising their body temperature while sitting still. That's amazing to me. Meditation and the ability to shift your mood and shift the presence of your energy and alter your chemical makeup and increase your happy endorphins and cut down on your acidic, aggressive endorphins. It helps to reflect and introspect and let go of a lot of that negative energy Because as you begin to clear your mind and clear, well, I'm getting deep off into meditation. So, and as you can tell, I get a lot out of meditating, and it's something that I encourage others to do. But back to the class that I teach, and the class is it's interview and negotiation skills. Now, the other aspect of the interview and negotiation skills class that we teach is dealing with negotiations. The interview itself is a negotiation. That's a negotiation to get the job. But you also have to have the discipline to keep the job and prepare for a promotion. And how do you get your boss to give you a promotion, or how do you get that raise? What is it that you can do to encourage somebody or get somebody to talk them into giving you a raise? Well, and all it's understanding the business structure for one, and that's in the office environment. Getting into what it is that, all right, we just got to doing the exercise where it's a 45-second elevator pitch. And in this exercise, we have written on the whiteboard, bullet point one, introduction and presentation. Introduction / presentation, because they go hand in hand. And two, what is it that you're asking me to do for you? And then three, how does me participate benefit me as the businessman or the investor? So those are the three bullet points a person has to cover in selling whatever it is that they've been designated to sell or that they've been assigned to sell in class, right? Because we give each person something that they didn't expect to have to sell. And we go through the exercise with them three different times to try and get it to really sink in that when you're in the interview or you're trying to pitch a business idea to a bank, or you're trying to get a raise or a promotion, these are the three things that you have to touch on. You have to follow the course of. You have to have a good introduction and presentation. You have to be clear about what it is you're asking the person to do for you. What is it that you're asking for? And the last point, what is it that you're asking them to do for you? How does it benefit them to help you? If you can convince a person that them helping you will benefit them, oh, they're going to seriously take in consideration helping you. As if giving me a promotion after the job that I've done at work and how hard I work. Giving me a job, a promotion, will allow me to serve the company even better and allow me to fill in gaps within the corporation or within the business that other people haven't been able to fill, and it will allow the business to have a safeguard against the loss of an employee due to them moving on to another job or due to unforeseen, unfortunate circumstances or simply due to them, like, moving out of town or something. It could be a lot of different things, but it's always good for the business to have more than one person that is capable of performing the skill set. So that is how the business
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Bye.
I think he will be calling back in one more time. And I hope everyone understands what he's trying to say and some of the things that he's trying to talk about. And there's so much to be learned in this country. And we have to listen to all sides from anyone and everyone that needs to have a voice. That's the only way that it will happen. We're looking at two, right now in Israel and the Hamas, we're looking at two nations who have been at it for years, and they're brothers because they were both from the same womb. And unfortunately, this is the disobedience and the ignorance. But we are going to have Reginald back on with us now, so everyone prepare to listen in.
Now.
Yes. And what I left off with is that is how a business profits. And I would like to thank you for calling me. I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to encourage you to call in, give me any comments or advice or criticisms or encouragement that you feel is necessary. And I greatly appreciate it. The number to call in is 657-383-1630. 657-383-1630. And how does the business profit from giving you a promotion? I talk in a class about a man named Mark Lemonis, who's a billionaire investor in businesses. And he said that there's three things that he focuses on when evaluating a business. That's people, product, and process. And not necessarily in that order. But if all those things are working, the business will turn a profit. And I've always stressed that and explained that to the clients and students who I'm trying to get to understand the structure of a business and business operations, because I want them to know what it is that they need to be looking for and taking into consideration as they enter into the workforce and become a part of the workforce, or evaluate their past experiences with the workforce, because perspective is everything, knowledge is everything, and experience is everything. And the more tools we can give our clients, give our fellow prisoners, the less likely they'll be to come back to prison, and more likely they'll be to go and succeed and live a fruitful, happy life. In our next class, what we're going to be teaching you is doing resumes and job applications. And I know a lot of job applications and resumes are done online. And we're also going to be working on doing video interviews so that people can generate video resumes and take those with them, because we need individuals to have the tools necessary for success, to have the ability to see themselves living the life that it is that they truly desire in their heart, that will make them happy and help them become whole. And that's what it takes in order to stay out of prison, and enjoy and appreciate the freedom that life has to offer outside these prison walls. And it means a lot. This program means a lot to me. That's why it's worth it to me to call in, and these phone calls is 5 cents a minute for me. Ain't nobody giving me no money to hand me, or I'm not getting paid for this or anything. And, but like again, I said, this is me giving back. This is me making the necessary sacrifices to give back. Because I know and I believe in our collective humanity. I believe in our heart and soul. That within our heart and soul is the divine gift of love, is the divine gift of compassion, is the divine gift of service. And the more we embrace our divine gifts, the closer we'll come to being fully human and being the human beings towards one another that was intended by the creator of the universe, or the universal force of balance, or the universal consciousness, or whatever it is that you choose to call it or classify it as. But here, we're doing the work. Here at Reentry 2030, we're working hard. And Ann Preece is the director of the Missouri Department of Corrections. She's in support of the Reentry 2030 program. Governor Mike Parson also is in support of the Reentry 2030 program. And it's also being supported by numerous departments within the government that serves society, like Social Security, Missouri Education Department, the Unemployment Office, the Labor Department, and several others, mental health, and we're working hard, and everything that we're doing is to create a structure and a process that will help people re-enter into society as more responsible, wholesome human beings so that they can return to their family, be the family men and family women to their family that will be contributing members of society in a responsible, productive manner. And the biggest thing to me, I hate seeing people come back to prison, plain and simple. I hate seeing people come back to prison. It's also sponsored and supported by the federal government under the Second Chance Act. And there is a website, Reentry 2030, and I hope that you all will go visit the website, and I pray, and I ask you to pray for us and send us your energy and send us and your support. I'm saying we need your support because we're building, and it's going to be something that's going to apply all across the country, and this is criminal justice reform.
Okay, Reginald, I'd like to have you give the audience any contact information, any way they can get in contact with you, any way they can write, any way they can contribute, any way at all, if you can let the audience know. And I want to say one thing. There are leaders and there are followers. And the reason we're not having success in this country in a lot of areas is because we cannot come together. We see it in our government. We even see it now happening overseas with other countries. So there are good people behind those prison walls that are really trying, like yourself, your team, and many, many others. But there are people on the outside that need to become more motivated. Just because they're not behind the walls does not mean that they're free. Unfortunately, they're serving the wrong master. But if you can, let the audience know how they can reach you or help in any way. Thank you.
Yes. The way the audience can reach me, I'm at Jefferson City Correctional Center at 8200 No More Victims Road.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Jefferson City, Missouri, 65101. That's 65101. That's Reginald Clemens, Jefferson City Correctional Center, 8200 No More Victims Road. Jefferson City, Missouri, 65101. And also, you can listen in next week at between the time of 5:30 and 6:30 Eastern Time. And for more information, and we'll be having someone else who teaches other classes, another class, as part of the Reentry 2030 program. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers and your concern and consideration.
And I want to say, in closing, I just want to say there was a 12-year-old Palestinian child in the United States that was stabbed to death by their landlord. The mother was is in critical condition in the hospital. This young boy did not have to be stabbed to death because of what's going on, the conflict between the Middle East and the Israelites and the Palestinians. I want to say right now, if people were more involved in trying to negotiate, trying to talk, trying to brainstorm, trying to listen to what people are saying and trying to help in situations like this, not only in other countries, not just in the prisons, in the communities, there wouldn't be crime. There'd be more compassion and love and unity. But we have a society that is quick to go to war, that is quick to judge, that is quick to harm, because we have sick people in this world and we have sick people in this country. If you feel the only way to resolve issues is to fill the prisons with people that are wrongfully convicted, first-time offenders, mentally or psychologically ill, addicted, or whatever the case may be. I am asking the audience to meditate, as Reginald Clemens was saying, to meditate and try to understand why you're not getting more involved. Understand why you're trying to judge people who are behind those prison walls. We don't even see independent oversight in the prisons to watch the overseers who are more criminal minded. So we're going to be closing this show today, and I'm hoping that everybody will start listening. If you claim to be for Allah, or if you claim to be for the Christ Jesus, or whomever you want to worship, do it in the right way. Do it the way they would, because we're living in a society that has turned so cold and has rejected and neglected people that really need your help. And then once they're incarcerated, it's a different story. All of a sudden now, they're not worth helping or listening to. We're going to have Reginald back next week, next Monday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And we're encouraging all of you to start calling in, getting involved. Try to show some humility instead of being so proud and boastful that you don't think that it can ever happen to you. We're going to close this episode, this show tonight, in hopes that next week we'll start seeing people, leaders, not followers, but leaders who are really anxious to work together in resolving these issues and to give some credit to these prisoners like Reginald and his team that are really trying to do some positive things with those soon to be released so that you, members of society, will be feeling safe. Thank you so much for listening in. Reginald, thank you so much for calling in. You guys are doing an excellent job. An excellent job.
Thank you, Leona. It's my pleasure to have an opportunity to serve.
Okay, we are now going to end this episode. And next week, again, Monday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Reginald Clemens' team will be speaking once again on Reentry 2030. Thank you all for calling or for listening in. Thank you. Let me just turn this down. Okay. Hold on.
I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if I shut down the direct call. Close.